Many, many years ago, a little girl went into a sweet shop with her mum to choose some sweets. And she stood there looking at all the sweet jars. And there were toffees and humbugs and licorice torpedoes and sugar bonbons and all sorts of things. And she stood there looking at all the sweets. She couldn't make up her mind. Choices, choices, choices. Eventually her mum said to her, "Come on, make your mind up." He said, "I can't. I've only got one penny." "Only one penny. Can't spend it twice. Better spend it well. Only one penny. Better spend it wisely. Make the right choice." "My friend, one life. Only one life. How will I spend it? What choice will I make?" Well, that's the question Solomon addresses in Ecclesiastes. Only one life. So what is the life worth living? Well, please come with me to the reading which we had, Ecclesiastes chapter 11 through to chapter 12 and verse 7. And we'll move swiftly. And we just have two things to say. So, have it open in front of you, because otherwise what I'm saying might not make a lot of sense, because I'm going to be referring to it all the way. Point number one is this. It's make up your mind. Or perhaps you might say, get on with it. And that's chapter 11. Here is Solomon's advice for everyone who is sitting on their bottom, wondering what they should do. Is that you? Are you waiting for something to happen? Well, says Solomon, get on with it. Verse 1, cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. What does that mean? Someone quoted it to me while I was feeding some ducks. Aha, Christian joke. But what does it mean? Well, he's a merchant trading on the seas. And he's not sitting down waiting for something to happen. He's a merchant. He wants to make money. So what does he do? He takes a risk. He sends out his ships which are carrying his wealth, which are carrying his bread. Cast your bread upon the waters. And of course, after many days, the ships return, laden with goods. And by taking a risk now, he increases his profits then. To Solomon, if you want to get rich, come on, make your mind up, take a risk, get on with it. Verse 2, give a serving to 7 and also to 8, for you do not know what evil will be on the earth. He says, you don't know what tomorrow may bring. So if you're going to be generous, do it today. Don't leave it till tomorrow. Make up your mind. Get on with it. Be as generous as you can. Verse 3 says, look at the clouds. The clouds don't wait till tomorrow, do they? If they're full of water, if they're full of snow, they empty themselves today. So Solomon, if it's within your power to do someone good today, to shower them with blessings today, don't leave it till tomorrow. Do it now. Don't put it off. Get on with it. Now, why do we sit on our bottoms? Why is it that we wait for something to happen? Why do we put things off? Well, one of the reasons is because the time is never quite right, is it? Conditions are never perfect, are they? Are you waiting for the perfect moment to act? But it never comes, says Solomon, does it? Verse 3. If a tree falls to the south or the north, in the place where the tree falls, there it shall lie. See what Solomon is saying? See, trees fall, don't they? And there they lie. And sometimes the tree falls the wrong way. Well, there's no good moaning and saying, well, look, if the tree had only fallen to the north instead of to the south, then it wouldn't have crashed through my roof. Things are never perfect. Things are never as we would choose. But don't sit there moaning about it. Get on with it. Verse 4, he who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. You've got to deal with life as you find it, not as you'd like it. If the farmer waits for the perfect time to sow, if he waits for the ideal time to reap, he'll never do anything because the perfect time never comes. Conditions are never perfect. Says Solomon, what are you waiting for? Get on with it. And don't wait, he says, before you have all the facts before you, before you act. Verse 5. And you do not know what is the way of the wind, or how the bones grow in the womb of her who is with child. So you do not know the works of God who makes everything. Don't wait till you have all the facts at your fingertips. Because there'll be some things in life, some facts that you'll never know. Do you know when the wind will change? Of course you don't. Or how the bones grow in the womb of her who is with child. There are three axes to my bones. There's the proximodistal, it's from the shoulder to the hand. There's the anterior posterior, which is from my thumb to my little finger. There's the dorsal ventricle, top of my hand to the bottom of my hand. All those bones grew in the womb, in the right order, in the right way. But do we really understand how it all fits together? How the bones develop in the womb? So if there are things in God's creation that we don't understand, how much less, says Solomon, do we understand the Creator himself, verse 5? So you do not know the works of God who makes everything. Do you see what he's saying? He said there are just millions of things in life that we don't know. We never get all the facts. We never get it all together. Because there are things which are beyond our control. Things which are beyond our understanding. There are things which are just hidden from our sight. We don't know. Only God understands the way he does things. So don't sit on your bottom philosophizing. Sitting there pontificating about the mysteries of life. Saying, look, only when I get this sussed out, only when I have all the facts, only when I have everything at my fingertips, will I know what to do with my life. Says Solomon, get on with it. Don't daydream. Don't wait for answers to the unanswerable. Don't wait until you know everything. Start acting on what you do know. Which is, well, verse 6. There's no reaping without sowing. Don't wait till you have everything worked out. The only perfectionist is God. So get on with it. In the morning sow your seed, and in the evening do not withhold your hand. For you do not know which will prosper, either this or that, or whether both alike will be good. Quite philosophical, this, isn't he? He's a philosopher, so he's getting you to think philosophically. Now, verse 7 to Solomon. It's great to be alive. There you are. You step out of the morning sunshine and say, "Whoa, yeah, life is wonderful." But verse 8, life doesn't go on forever. Truly, the light is sweet and is pleasant for the eyes to behold the sun. But if a man lives many years and rejoices in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they will be many. All that is coming is vanity. To Solomon, what you can do today won't last forever. You won't always be able to do it. Great, step out of the morning sun. The sun is shining, but don't just sunbathe. Because the darkness is coming. And the opportunities you have today, those opportunities will not be with you forever. So get on with it. Whatever you have to do, says Solomon, now is the time. You see, he's talking philosophically, but he keeps pushing us in a particular direction, doesn't he? You know, sometimes we are like super tankers. We're so set in our ways, we're perhaps so heavily planted on our bottoms that it's impossible to move us. Well, he's getting us to think. He's pushing us in a direction. He keeps stressing a particular point. He's taking all angles of life and he's saying, come on, think about it. How do you handle life What's the way to get on in life? Well, you get on with it, don't you? Get on with it, he says. Get on with it. But maybe there's something I particularly need to get on with. If all these things are lessons for life, maybe there's one lesson in life that is more important than all other lessons. Maybe there's a Mount Everest of lessons. So look at verse 9. It's great to be young. When you're young, you have energy, strength, flair, daring. You're prepared to take on the world. You're prepared to conquer the world. As a young man, Alexander the Great conquered the known world, and he wept that he had no more worlds to conquer. It's great to be young. But, says Solomon, youth is short-lived. Okay, youth is short-lived. Well, then I might as well enjoy it. If it's the prime of life, let me enjoy my life. I enjoy it while I can. Ultimately, it doesn't matter what I get up to. All life comes to an end. We've all got to die. No, says Solomon. No. In your prime of life, okay, you'll enjoy your life. But ultimately, he says, it does matter what you get up to. Because death is not the end. Verse 9, rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart. Do what seems best to you. Please yourself and the sight of your eyes. But know that for all these, God will bring you into judgment. What I do with my life, how I spend my one penny, says Solomon, really does matter. So how shall I use my youth? How shall I spend my life? What is the life that's worth living? What is the one thing that I really do need to get on with? So Solomon, verse 10, don't get depressed about the question. And okay, sort out the wrongs that are in your life, put them right. And remember, life is temporary, for childhood and youth are vanity. And all those things being so, what am I to get on with? What's the big lesson that trumps all other lessons? Chapter 12, verse 1. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. It's philosophical, isn't it? We got there sort of philosophically. But you listen to the old man. I don't mean me, I mean Solomon. You listen to the old man. What's he been saying in chapter 11? He says, if you're going to make the best of life, you get on with it, don't you? Everyone does it. Those who make something of their lives, they get on with life. You don't sit there on your bottom wondering what to do. You don't sit there waiting for something to happen. You cast your bread upon the waters. You take a risk. Otherwise, the merchant is never going to make any money. You don't wait for the perfect moment. You don't wait till you've figured everything out. You don't wait till you have all the facts. Otherwise, if you do that, you'll never get anything done. Now, says Solomon, if that is true of life in general, if that's the way that the world turns, how much more true is it when it comes to God, the maker of the world? Remember now your Creator. Here is something to do now. Here is something to get on with now. If in every other sphere of life, the advice is get on with it, then the sphere that really counts, knowing the one who has given me my life, given me my breath, knowing my Creator, says Solomon, get on with it. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. Don't think God is just for the wrinklies. And then at the moment, if I'm young, well, that's my own business. So Solomon, okay, you've only got one life. Do you want a life that's worth living? And do you want to prepare for the day when you must leave this life? Do you want to make the best of your golden years, the time of your life? Then remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. Which brings us to point number two. Okay, Solomon, if the one thing that young people need to do is to remember God, is to know God, is to come to God, is to come to Jesus Christ, why? Back up what you're saying. Remember, he's an old man speaking. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come, and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. Says Solomon, young people grow old. Now, when I was a young pastor, and I used to visit the folk of Amy Park Chapel, the old folk, I should say, of Amy Park Chapel, I say, how are you? And I say, oh, my leg hurts. Oh, my back hurts. My shoulder hurts. And sometimes they'd say, do you know, I can't understand it. And inside I'd be thinking, what do you mean you can't understand it? You're old. What do you expect? Of course it's going to hurt everywhere. But now I understand a little better at least. It's young people that grow old. That person in their 80s with a bad back saying, I can't understand it. Who's talking? It's a young person talking. It's a young person inside an old body. It's a young person inside an old body that doesn't function like it used to. It's a young person saying, I don't understand what's happened to me. Remember your Creator when you're young, says Solomon, because young people grow old. And if you put off seeking God till you're older, if you leave it till later, later will never come. You'll put it off and it'll be too late. Because as you grow old and decay and disease and dysfunction take over, you'll be too preoccupied with them ever to think about God. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them, while the sun and the light, the moon and the stars are not darkened and the clouds do not return after the rain. So Solomon, come to Jesus Christ while life is still a pleasure. Look at verse 2. It's a vivid picture, isn't it, of light retreating into the darkness. As we grow older, a great shadow, a great darkness comes over us. The lights start to go out. We lose our friends, our hopes, our joys. When we're young, things can be difficult, especially in your teenage years. There are storm clouds. The storm clouds gather, but then the sky clears. Things get better. Time heals. The clouds don't return after the rain. But when you're old, things don't get better. The sky doesn't clear. Time doesn't heal. It kills. Look at verse 3. The picture now turns to a house. It's a house that's falling apart. It's a fantastic picture, actually, of growing old. It says, remember God before you grow old. Before the day, verse 3, when the keepers of the house tremble. It's philosophical, it's poetic as well, isn't it? What are the keepers of the house? What are your hands? Remember God before your hands start to shake. And your legs and knees bend. So there's a stoop, verse 3, and the strong men bow down. Old age, verse 3, when the grinders cease because they are few. Have you worked it out? It's when you lose your teeth, isn't it? I won't say hands up. Those of you who still got your teeth. But it's likely to be, isn't it? The younger people are likely to have their teeth, and the older people are likely to be losing their teeth. The grinders cease because they are few. And your eyesight goes. You start getting cataracts. You start getting long-sighted. You can't see. Verse 3, those who look through the windows grow dim. And verse 4, your hearing goes. What happens to me now in my 50s? I'm in certain conversations like, what? And then, of course, you get to a certain age, aren't you? And older people say, I don't know why people these days don't talk clearly. In my day, we used to speak clearly. Well, it's because they're going deaf. The doors are shut in the streets. Never mind wanting to hear the gospel, you won't even be able to hear the gospel. And the sound of grinding is low. It's the grinding of grain for daily bread. It's the sound of everyday life. What it's saying is, isn't it, as you grow old, you're increasingly shut off from everyday life. The activities that make up the life of most people, you begin to retreat from those activities. We retreat from the world. Verse 4, when one rises up at the sound of a bird. When you're old, you wake up at the crack of dawn. You don't sleep like you used to. Don't lie in. And your voice doesn't sound like it once did. Verse 4, all the daughters of music are brought low. Lovely poetry, isn't it? Do you remember Sir Paul McCartney at the opening ceremony of the Olympics, singing Hey Jude? Do you remember that? Have you heard it? He couldn't reach the notes, could he? And somebody commented, I've been a fan forever, but please do not do this again, Paul. Sorry, your voice has gone. It was a bit harsh. But even the great Sir Paul McCartney is losing his voice because as you get older, all the daughters of music are brought low. An old age, verse 5, when you're afraid of heights, you're afraid to go out. When the almond tree blossoms. What does that mean? Well, it means that if you have any hair, the hair turns white. And the grasshopper is a burden. It might mean that the slightest load weighs a ton. Or it might mean that you lose the spring in your step. You've slowed down. And verse 5, desire fails. The phrase refers to the caperberry. It used to be an aphrodisiac, a sort of ancient herbal Viagra. Well, you get to an age, says Solomon, where it no longer works. Just go shopping for thermal socks. Eventually the body dies. The whole home, the old home, it's worn, it's weary. One day it all just comes crashing down. For man goes to his eternal home and the mourners go about the streets. Now is the time to remember God, he says, before you get old. Before it's just too much even to start thinking about these things. Get on with it now, before you get old and before you die. Verse 6, remember your Creator before the silver cord is loosed, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the well. Life is precious, it's like a golden oil lamp hanging from the ceiling by a silver chain, a silver cord. But of course, once that cord, that silver cord is cut, the whole bowl just smashes on the ground. It's final, isn't it? And the light of your life will be put out. You can't undead the dead. And life is familiar. It's like the rising and falling of a bucket, or what Solomon calls here a pitcher in the well. There it goes, up and down, the wheel of the well, rising, falling. How familiar. But one day the wheel of the well will break. And the bucket will plunge to the bottom and shatter. And it will never take that familiar journey again. Think of my mother leaving her house for the last time, but she didn't know it was the last time. A familiar journey, backwards and forwards over the years, backwards and forwards over the years, and then one day there was no homecoming, there was no return. the body must die. Verse 7, then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. I've read that at funerals. Maybe one day someone will read it at mine. You see what Solomon's saying? He's saying, look, now is the time to come to Jesus Christ. If you put it off, if you leave it, the day will never come. Because you'll be too old, too set in your ways, too tired, too deaf, too senile to think about God. And before you know it, it'll be too late. You remember the rich man in Jesus' parable? And God says to the rich man, you fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Why was he a fool? Was it because he was rich? He was a fool because he forgot God and he forgot death. He lived as though those two things never existed. Is that what you're doing? Well, God one night said that of you, you fool. This night your soul is required of you because you lived as though there is no God. You've lived as though there is no death. You lived as though this life will go on forever and my capacity to do what I've been doing will go on forever. Because when the summons comes, it's irresistible. The earth will return to the earth, sorry, dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. He summons the spirit. And his summons is irresistible. It's appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. We go to eternity via the judgment. So says Solomon, in the light of all of those things. And he's the old man. Listen to what he says. He says, there's one thing above all other things you need to get on with. You haven't got time to mess about with. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. Solomon says, your Creator. I was talking to some rail workers. There's often activity going on at the station. I was talking to some rail workers the other day about heaven and hell. One of them said to me, my idea of heaven is a beautiful woman. Let me put it a bit more colourfully than that. I said to him, who created woman? Who built the first woman? The Creator. So I said, if you admire his handiwork, what must the Creator himself be like? And he smiled because he got the point. Remember your Creator. Do you love music? Well, who made a universe where a string of a specific length and thickness and tension gives a precise note? Who encoded music into the structure of the universe? Who was it? Well, if you admire his handiwork, I love music. What must the Creator himself be like? The one who's given all music. What must it be like to know him? What if he gave you a song to sing? What would that song be like? And do you love food? Whoa. Food. Well, who put the taste in food? And who put the taste buds in you? So if you love his handiwork, the work of the Creator, then taste and see that the Lord is good. And you see, the Creator hasn't stood apart from his creation. He's not aloof. He's not frozen in a stained glass window. This is the Creator who came into his world, who showed his face. We see the godness of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And when he entered this world, he got on with it. Because if there's a judgment, and there is, well, he set about saving men, women, boys and girls from the judgment, from the hell that lies beyond. And having lived that perfect life we could never live, on the cross at Calvary, he died the punishing death for sin that we deserve to die. That all who come to him with no perfect life to live and with no punishing death to die are reconciled to their Maker. They find God himself. And oh, if they take pleasure in his handiwork, if they can see the beauty of the things that he has made, to know the Maker of those things himself, and discover he's the God of love, the God of grace, the God who is truly wonderful. And coming to him, they find that in his hands, they find the life that is worth living. And they discover the Lord who is worth loving. That, says Solomon, is why. Now, remember now your Creator. In the days of your youth, before the difficult days come, and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. Why don't you come to Jesus Christ? Maybe you say, well, it's too risky. But this is the great adventure. What could be more wonderful? What could be a greater adventure than to place my life in the hands of the Maker of all things, the Maker of me? It's the cowardly who are shut out of heaven. You read in Revelation, who are shut out of heaven? Well, it goes through a whole list. And you think, okay. Fine. But the cowardly, why are the cowardly shut out of heaven? Because they won't take the risk. What I might lose if I come to Christ. Nothing ventured, nothing gained. Venture all on Christ. Maybe you're waiting for the perfect moment. Well, if you wait for the perfect moment to come to Jesus Christ, maybe you feel I need to feel some sort of rising within me, some sort of inward compulsion that means I have to come then and I'll wait for that perfect moment, the perfect sermon, the perfect conversation, the perfect verse, the perfect something, then I'll come to Christ. But that perfect moment won't come. The perfect moment, says Solomon, is now. That's the perfect moment, now. So get on with it. Maybe you're waiting for every question to be answered. You say, well, when I've got all the facts, when I've got everything at my fingertips, then maybe, well, I'll look at it and... But of course the Bible says Jesus himself is the answer. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the answer. So bring your questions to him. And maybe you're young and think, well, if I come to Jesus Christ, this is the prime of my life. I don't want to waste my best years. Well, I've had my fun, then I'll think about becoming a Christian. But see, the thing is, without Christ, this life, the time of your life, the prime of your life, it will only disappoint you. It'll leave you feeling unfulfilled, empty, soulless, joyless. And in the process, you'll be left feeling unclean as well. Maybe you're beginning to see that. Maybe you do live a joyless life. And you say, well, it's because of this. It's not. It's because you are living apart from your Maker. That's why. That's why it's a joyless life. That's why it's an empty life. That's why it's a life that's going nowhere. That's why God says, why spend money on what isn't bread? And your labor on what doesn't satisfy? Why invest your life in things which are just never going to fill you, satisfy you, give to you? Maybe thinking, if I come to Christ, I'll lose my personality. But it's sin that destroys our identity. It's sin that makes us all the same. You see the park bench, and you've seen a row of people who've had too much to drink. They're all sitting on the park bench. They all look like each other. They all sound like each other. They're all the same. It's a horrible sameness. That's what sin does. It makes a horrible sameness of life. C.S. Lewis says, it's when I turn to Christ, when I give myself up to his personality, that I begin to have a real personality of my own. Are you looking for the things that we all look for? Security, significance, love, peace, life. Why ever should I think that I can find these things outside the one who made me? It's God's word tonight, come home. Come to Jesus Christ. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. But my friend, Solomon's counsel to you tonight is, if you're going to come to Jesus Christ, get on with it. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth.